Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined today by our contributor, Rana Faruhar of Time Magazine, and by Felix Salmon from Reuters. This week brought new evidence of an old adage, uneasy lies the head that wears a crown, as a string of business titans got thrown under the bus or stretch limo. A British parliamentary committee labeled Rupert Murdoch unfit to lead News Corp, his big media empire. Some U.S. senators are pointedly asking if there's evidence of wrongdoing here. The CEO of Chesapeake Energy, the nation's second-largest natural gas producer, was forced to step down as chairman of the board. We've seen shareholder revolts against CEO pay at Citigroup, Barclays, maybe more to come at Goldman Sachs. Rana, is this the beginning of a new era of vulnerability for the most powerful men and women in the business universe who at one point seemed just immune to any kind of threats?
Well, I tell you, I think it is an era in which boards are going to be watching what the CEO and what companies are doing more carefully, and that would be a big shift. You know, I have a friend who sits on the board of a large media company, not Time Warner, I might add, who I work for, and not News Corp, but, you know, and was telling me the other day that the pay issue came up, and someone on the board said, well, you know, we can't raise salaries in that way in the age of Occupy. Now, I don't think the Occupy movement itself actually turned the dial in the boardroom, but I think it's representative of this greater shift that the 1% is being watched pretty closely and companies are being watched more closely and boards need to get their act together. And we may see a little more activism on that front. You saw that with Facebook. As soon as they announced their IPO, you had a big California pension fund saying, hey, is there too much power concentrated in Mark Zuckerberg's hands? And I think we're going to see a lot more of scrutiny like that.
Rana's right. I think that actually Occupy had a big effect on corporate boards because it forced them to look squarely in the face the fact that they represent pension funds and small shareholders and basically the 99%. And they're overseeing in the CEOs the 1%, the people who are making these enormous multi-million dollar salaries. And they're suddenly realizing, I think, that they actually have a duty to the 99%. And they're taking that a little bit more seriously now than they ever used to.
For someone like Rupert Murdoch, who is such a polarizing figure, it seemed at some point that there was a kind of schadenfreude going on when some of his opponents saw him as vulnerable. Do you think, you know, in the sense that when the King of France was beheaded, every monarch in Europe felt for his throat, that other powerful CEOs are looking toward what happened, say, in Britain with Murdoch and saying, you know, we better watch ourselves because the government seem to be flexing their muscles in this case?
I mean, it would be nice, wouldn't it, if the CEOs feel a little bit vulnerable and feel that they ought to be stepping a little bit inside the lines. Rupert Murdoch, remember, was very aggressively questioned by the British Parliament, and I haven't seen any indication that the US legislature or executive, for that matter, is nearly as aggressive. The Justice Department is talking about maybe making a few moves against Google or someone like that, but it's nowhere near as harsh.
I would just jump in and add one thing. I do think that we're going to see more government scrutiny of big tech. The feds are bringing in the Oklahoma City bombing prosecutor to work on the Google antitrust case. You're seeing Amazon cutting deals with the Texas and California government around collecting sales tax. I think to the extent that the money and growth and disruptive technology is there, you're going to see more government scrutiny on that sector.
Let me just turn the corner here. You both alluded to digital companies. A couple of the older educational institutions are trying to make connections to the new digital universe, and one of the more dramatic versions just announced was that Harvard and MIT are going to be offering online courses for free. Other top schools like Stanford and Princeton have done it. Now, we in the news business have learned that giving the product away can be dangerous. Any concern, Rana, to begin with you, that these universities may be taking a similar dangerous walk down a dangerous path that's going to undercut their financial structure?
I think this actually might enhance their financial structure in the short to midterm. I see sort of two things coming out of this. It may be that we're headed towards a kind of a bifurcated model of education where an in-class degree at Harvard is kind of like a Dior handbag and the online version is the Coach bag. You know, that could be one model. But the thing that I see is that this is a grab for a larger revenue base. And we've already known for some time now that international students and their money was going to be an important part of the U.S. educational inflow. I think that putting courses online, it reaches that market in a more direct way. And I think it also raises the point that education is a huge export market for America, very important. And we often think about when we talk about exports about things like tractors or cars, but education is probably one of America's biggest and most important potential exports.
I would mostly agree with Rana on this, but I don't think that these courses are going to be a direct revenue source. I think that they are going to be free, actually, all of them. With the amount of competition we have in this space and the number of startup companies and established universities all moving into this space, which is very exciting and bringing very, very high-level education to the world, the price point is going to be zero for everyone. So you're not going to get direct revenues from these courses. And what's more, the universities themselves, Stanford and MIT and Harvard, are only going to do well out of this. It's like the TED Talks. The minute they went online for free, the demand for tickets to the TED conference went through the roof. I think that those universities, the top tier universities, are never going to have any difficulty filling all of their undergraduate spaces. If there's any disruption going on here, it's going to be the lower tier universities, because you would actually be better off taking an online course at Harvard for free than spending money going to your local podunk university.
Well, finally, I would like to look ahead to next week, as we always do here. Rana Faruhar, one of our contributors from Time Magazine, and with Felix Salmon from Reuters. Rana, what is on your radar scope for next week?
I've been thinking a lot about the politics of austerity and unrest in Europe. I was really struck by a little news nugget that I saw today about how there were 8,000 police at the most recent meeting of the European Central Bank. There were snipers on the top of buildings. I think when you've got as many police at a banker's meeting as you would at a football game, that really says something important. I think that it's interesting that there's increasing border patrols between France and Italy, and I think that we're going to continue to see social unrest off of the back of austerity in Europe.
Felix, gaze into your crystal ball for us.
So next week is the big kickoff of the Facebook Roadshow. Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg and all of them are going to go on the road and try and persuade all of these big institutional investors that their company is worth $100 billion, even though it made less money from advertising this quarter than it did last quarter. It's not growing at internet speed anymore. In fact, it didn't grow at all. So that, whether they're successful in that and whether they can get a really big impressive IPO out, is going to be absolutely fascinating.
Thank you. We will be looking at those stories and all the week's financial news, including this morning's jobs report, at wnyc.org/business. You can also take this program with you as a podcast for free, available on iTunes. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.